kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Share and for us to consider today about fellowship, about the body, and about our coming together. And we're going to talk about those things today. And I've got a title for this teaching, and we're calling this teaching, We Can All Become Spiritually Lazy. We can all become spiritually lazy. And I want us to look today in the book of Hebrews chapter 10, the book of Hebrews chapter 10, and looking at verses 24 to 25, verses 24 to 25 of the book of Hebrews chapter 10. And we're calling our teaching today, We Can All Become Spiritually Lazy. And here, these words says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, the apostle has already been encouraging these Christians to hold firm to the faith, to have a good confession, this boldness of entering into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, and we are to draw near in faith, in assurance, knowing that God is faithful and he is leading toward what he's wanting to say here with regard to not forsaking fellowship, the assembling of ourselves together. And he says also that we are to hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering, because he's promised and he is faithful. But we can find ourselves with all these promises and these admonitions and encouragements, we can still find ourselves becoming spiritually lazy. And I want to encourage you today how that we can overcome this, and that how we are to recognize these symptoms that start to take place in our lives. And if indeed we walk humbly before God and we are open to God, then we will become aware of some of these problems that can arise. You see, we can become spiritually lazy and we no longer become sensitive to the Holy Spirit and his leading. And all of us have to be on our guard with regard to that. We all of us have to be diligent and to be aware that we're not at times as sensitive as we should be, because we allow other things to get in. We allow fear, confusion, frustration, all of those things which often are attached with emotions and feelings, can cause us to become insensitive to the Holy Spirit and his leading. You know, some of us are trying to make a type of peaceful retreat from the rest of the world, because there are times we have enough of the world. And I think that temptation is getting more as we're finding such confusion and such a falling away, where we no longer become shocked by anything that we hear or hear in the news. It just goes from bad to worse. And so it's so easy to retreat, to lock ourselves away. Or the road is getting too rough. Life is just getting too much. I need that break. Give me a break, Lord, at least. Now, we might not say that in so many words before God, but we say it in our actions. And I'm saying this all in the context of where we encourage one another, not forsaking our assembling together, because this is where it will attack. Remember, the enemy is subtle, and he knows where to attack, and he will try and attack in our fellowship, in our coming together. So with that, considering that, let's look at this in detail. In verse 24, he says, "Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works." So he says, "Let us consider." Here again are these words, these singular words at times we can just so often rush over, and we're talking about, you know, stirring up love and good works and ever and so on. But he says we need to consider this. And that's precisely what we're doing today through the teaching of this word. We are considering this, that we can all become spiritually lazy. Now, just in passing, this word consider, which has several meanings, it means basically to understand, or it means fix your mind, your heart on this. Another word it means is discover, work out, find out what God is saying. And so, in many ways, you could say, let us find out, let us discover, let us seek God and one another in order to stir up love and good works. So we consider, we seek God, we get understanding for the purpose to stir up love and good works. And because of the nature of this, it means that we have to consider this. We have to understand this, because this can lack in the body of Christ to stir up love and good works. And if you are spiritually lazy, you are not really going to consider this. But we have to, if we want true fellowship, true koinonia. So often, there are verses in Scripture that give analogies of what we're trying to say here. And if you turn with me to Luke 6 and verse 41, Luke chapter 6 and verse 41, and he says here, "And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the plank in your own eye?" So here we are, the text, same type of understanding, to consider, to understand. Because I don't see this as I should. It also means to provoke, to stir up. And of course, Luke 6, verse 41, certainly stirs one up. It puts you in your place. It's a wonderful analogy of shutting one's mouth. And first look to yourself and where you stand in Christ. So here we are, to provoke, to stir, to consider one another for the purpose of love and good works. The nature of love needs to be provoked sometimes. It needs to be stirred up. You need to be reminded. And that's why the apostle puts it in the context that he does. And also for good works. So love is not just in words, but also in good works. Helping, encouraging, being available, filling up in those areas that is wanting. Do we have that desire, that heart for this assembly and our gathering together unto him? We also look at another example. We turn to the book of Acts. Acts 15 and verse 39. Acts 15 and verse 39. And here again, we're looking at this word to consider, to discover, to provoke, incitement. There's another word that it can be used. It can also be an irritant. It can be an irritation. I don't want to hear it now. Maybe tomorrow might be better, but not now. I've had a rough day. Does this all sound familiar? Well, listen, here it is. Then contention became so sharp that they parted from one another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. So there was sharp disputation there. They didn't agree. The same type of understanding, the same type of emotion, challenge. And very often the Holy Spirit has a way of challenging us for change. So let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. So we're to stir up one another. And often we have to take that first step towards Christ and not self. And that is the problem. To take that first step, to stir up, to minister, because it's not going to come to you. You have to do it. You have to realize the one that you are doing it unto. You see. And when you get that realization from your head to your heart, it doesn't become such a problem. Because you know you're doing it unto the Lord. But very often you have to, in fellowship, in relationships, in marriages, and you name it, whatever, often you have to take that first step. And there are times when we just feel a bit fed up because it seems that that's all I ever do. Is the other person really that interested? If they were, then they would consider. They would, for a change, take that first step. But it seems that I am the one that has to take the first step. I have to take the first step in fellowship and so on. Well, you do it without questioning when you know whom you are doing it to, because you are taking a step toward who? Christ, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And it's not about self. True fellowship, true koinonia, can only flourish and be blessed and fruitful when it's not about self and what I get out of this. And we have had saints who've joined us, but self is in the way. They want something out of it. And when they find it doesn't give them what they want, then they go elsewhere looking for it. But you know what? They never find it. Because we do it unto the Lord. You see, to live a recluse and secluded life is contrary to Christ and his teachings. You're not some precious ornament that is put in a cabinet for display. On the contrary. And we also have to be on our guard because trials and tests can make us lazy. And we can just simply use prayer and the study of the word as a quiet retreat. Now, I'm all for prayer and I'm all for study of the word. And don't let your study of the word just be when you're coming to these meetings and listening to the preacher. Your study of the word has to be a lot more than just the sermons you hear. You also have to read the word of God and meditate and pray over it also. But we also have to be on our guard. Because if you have this problem of laziness, you can use prayer and the study of the word as just being a recluse, a quiet retreat, in other words. We use God for the sake of getting some peace and joy. Give me some peace and joy. You see, we seek enjoyment from him. And we have to have a true realization of him. And yes, God is going to give us peace and joy even through the trials and tribulations. We have to experience God's presence in a trial, else you are going to precisely do this. You will become lazy and indifferent, and you will hide away thinking that you are spiritual, you're doing all the right thing by prayer and study, word and so on, but you've actually become a recluse. It's because you've had enough of trials and tribulation. You want some peace, some rest. You want to feel his presence, but that's not the way you do. You see, some seek enjoyment from him and not true realization of him. And there's the difference. I want some joy. I want some peace. But God is more than that. It is recognizing him. It is seeing him in every facet of your life and area. Whether he's pleased with it or not, it's seeing him in it. Do you see Christ in everything you say and do? That is the question, because that is how we're to walk with Almighty God. And the Holy Spirit will work and create that in your life if you want that. You see, active work and being spiritual are not the same thing. You see, lazy Christians don't want to be stirred up. Leave me alone. I'm quite happy, and so on. They're disgruntled. They don't really have the joy of the Lord that is their strength. But we have to be stirred up. That is partly what fellowship an assembling together is precisely for. What does Peter say in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. Well, actually, we'll take it from verse 5. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 onwards. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the knowledge of God, the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, is not just a knowledge of the word, but it is a knowledge that comes through love, through being active as a Christian. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was once cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling, election sure. For if you do these things, you will neither stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I'm in this tent, to stir you up and to reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. So the apostle knows he's shortly to go, and he is stirring them up. I think it is right, verse 13, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you. And that is really all our call. That should really be within each one of us if we want true fellowship. So there we get this idea of what the apostle is saying back here in Hebrews chapter 10. And then in verse 25, he says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. So he clearly makes it known we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Doesn't matter how you feel, what sort of day you've had, whatever has gone on, or somebody said something that upset you in the assembly, doesn't matter. It says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some. So he's raising this up because some have become and not doing it so much. They're negligent. They're not so keen on assembling together. And the reason that that can start to happen is because they want to be ministered to, and they don't go with that right heart to minister, to give, to stir up, to exhort, to love their brother and sister. As I've always said, and I'll say it again, if you love the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, soul, mind and being, you will also love his body. His body that the Holy Spirit baptizes you into. You cannot separate it. And some just want to be Christians and want the Lord, but they don't really want the fellowship, the assembling together. And I'm sorry, but it doesn't go. Because you see, to assemble together, to be in fellowship, means that you have to go that extra mile. It means that things are required of you. It means that you may have to minister when you don't feel like it, or you're off colour. It may mean that somebody has said a few sharp words to you or whatever it would be, and you know that you're not to hold any grudge or resentment. This is a huge problem in the house of God. This unforgiveness that still rumbles away deep, deep down. And you hear it coming out after years and years, failing to understand that we live today, now, this moment, by faith, by the grace and mercy of God. If ever there is to be true fellowship, koinonia, then you have to let it go. Else it's not going to happen. Because it's not going to go how you want. They're not going to say what you would like them to say. Now, I'm not saying that there isn't a place for apology and forgiveness. Of course there is. But the point is, you see something greater than that. And you see the body of Christ. You see your fellowship. You see your assembling together. That takes precedence over everything else. And it's time we start growing up in that area. But who do we assemble to? We assemble unto Him. Christ, who is our head. And so the apostle has revealed that some are not assembling together as they should. But he says, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And so how vital is this then, our fellowship, as we're seeing the day approaching? And we're seeing the rapid falling away now. Morality, everything falling. How much more then? We see this day approaching that we should be exhorting one another, encouraging one another, not forsaking the assembling for this very purpose. Why am I stressing this? Because this is what will make you a wise virgin. This will make you ready for the rapture. It keeps us alert, awake. God is stirring us up, provoking us if need be. He is not going to let us be lazy, indifferent. And we really have to watch this spiritual laziness. Now, the reason that I'm stressing this is because there's coming a time with the five wise and the five foolish when the bridegroom tarries. And that is a time of battling laziness, spiritual laziness. Well, we've heard it all. We've heard that the Lord is supposed to be coming, and here we are, 20 years later, nothing's happened. And so it's easy to start to become lazy and sleepy. And the light starts to become dim. But you see, God in His mercy has placed you under a preacher and teacher that will not let you do that. He will continue to stir you up, provoke you if need be. And I know some don't always like it. They get a bit knocked. But my obedience is to the Holy Spirit, His leading, His guidance. And He really stressed this to me as I was preparing this today, we all of us in FGA have to be on our guard. But you see, as I close with this, if love, that agape love, is the motivation, then that light will keep shining. And that light, that love, will cause you to go that extra mile. That light, that love, will cause you to die to those things. To die where you're seeing a brother or sister who's not pulling their weight, who's turning their face away, pretending that they can't see or don't want to know. We all of us have to be on our guard. And we can do that in our everyday life and walk. When God leads us each day, we can turn our face the other way and pretend I didn't see or didn't hear. But you see, the Holy Spirit, he won't let us do that. As I said right back at the beginning, that we have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading. Because if not, you'll become your own worst enemy. And that's precisely what happens. Lazy Christians actually become their own worst enemy. And God forbid. God forbid. Because we go through enough as it is. The enemy tries to buffet and hinder like he does. So we don't want to bring more trials into our lives. And we need to be sensitive what the Holy Spirit is saying. And so this is why the apostle, as I close, he says, consider, let us consider this. Let's consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Because it's absolutely vital. So as we're seeing the day of the Lord approaching, we are aware, aren't we, that the body has many parts. And all of those parts, they need to function properly. Now our heart's desire should be in fellowship, that all these parts that God has placed in the body, and it makes no mistake, it is my concern, it is my burden, it is my prayer that is motivated by the love and grace and mercy of God, that these parts are all functioning as they should. It's not just the pastor's job. It is each of us to make sure that all these parts in the body are functioning properly. We should be concerned for each part. And if one suffers, then we all suffer. And if I can alleviate their suffering, then praise God, because that is what love does. Hallelujah. And if a saint is struggling or is having a problem in fellowship or with the word or is straying away from the faith, then we should encourage them for good works. And part of good works is keep coming to the fellowship, keep listening to the word. It's all part of these good works. And prayer, our prayers that back it all up. If there's strife, we should encourage them to forgive and to love and to move on. Because we can all identify with that one. Why? Because our assembling together is unto him. It's not what I get out of it. When we put Christ first in our fellowship, everything else will flow. Trust me. and you won't have time to be spiritually lazy or indifferent, because he will be using you. I'm reminded, and it's like the Lord's given a vision as I close with this. Boats, particularly of the past, they had to watch as they were navigating, sometimes for treacherous waters, sometimes when the waters become shallow, or there's an enemy right ahead. They use their telescopes in which to observe, to watch. And that's what we do. We have to watch these things because we're on a journey. And that journey can get rough. And those seas can become treacherous or can become very shallow, where you can become shipwrecked. So watch and pray. That is what we must do over FGA. And we get that right, then everything else will flow. We must start believing in this assembly. I don't think we all of us have still that belief, because it's now been 30 years. It's been 40 years. And we've heard the same teaching and so on. And we're not quite so sure. But the question I'm going to raise to you, which I so often do as I close, has God made a mistake? I think not.
Let him in constancy follow the master.